This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on Union Cabinet decisions. The participants are K.G. Suresh, political analyst, and Rajesh Lake, anchor.
On December 6, 2024, the Indian Cabinet made several critical decisions aimed at enhancing the country's education infrastructure and urban connectivity. To discuss this, it's my pleasure to have in the studios K.G. Suresh, political analyst, a warm welcome.
Thank you.
Addressing the nation from the ramparts of the Red Fort on the 78th Independence Day, Prime Minister Modi said, "We want to build such an education system in India that youngsters do not need to go abroad to study." So you think Cabinet, given the approval to open 85 new Kendriya Vidyalayas, is that not building a base to fulfill the Prime Minister's dream?
Absolutely. I believe that because of late we have been hearing a lot of arguments that a lot of emphasis is being given on higher educational institutions like IITs, IIMs, and that is being done at the cost of school education. Decision very clearly shows that the government's priorities are in the right place. So this, in a way, whether it is the Kendriya Vidyalaya or Navodaya Vidyalaya, the focus on these two institutions very clearly shows that the government is not just interested in numbers, but also in quality. So Kendriya Vidyalaya and Navodaya Vidyalayas both represent quality education. So I think that the very fact that 85 new Kendriya Vidyalayas, they are going to cater to a large number of students. And remember, 13 of these Kendriya Vidyalayas are going to come up in Jammu and Kashmir, where the government is putting a lot of emphasis. And not just that, the outlay is 5,872 crores. And out of this, please remember that they are looking at about 82,560 students. That's what the number of students whose requirements will be taken care of by these new institutions. And not just that, over 5,800 regular posts would be created. So this is not just about student excellence, but also about employment generation. Infrastructure building. So that means a lot of people are going to be involved in full-time, part-time engagements, construction, civilians, civil workers, electricians, plumbers. I mean, it's going to generate huge amount of jobs also. And of course, it is going to benefit a large number of students across the country. It's going to be provide a lot of, particularly parents are concerned about quality education, and that too affordable quality education. And I think that the establishment of these institutions, and now their schools, well, they are also often referred to, most of them are now being referred to as PM Shri schools. Now, these schools are also catering, please remember, unlike in the case of KVs, which cater to, say, largely central government employees, transferable jobs, and floating populations, the Navodaya Vidyalayas cater to the poor, downtrodden, scheduled castes, scheduled tribes, OBCs, minorities. That is their focus area. Right. So nobody should be deprived of quality education so that they get a level playing field. That is the objective. So I think that to that extent, these decisions are really welcome. Again, in the case of the Navodaya Vidyalayas also, it will cater to 15,680 students, and it will again create 1,316 regular posts. I mean, these are statistics which we are going to see operational in the next couple of years. Yes. So I think that it's going to herald major changes, and with the Prime Minister's vision of a developed country by 2047. India being Viksit Bharat, and India being a Vishwaguru, to in that direction also of bringing world-class education as envisaged under the National Education Policy 2020.
This is in pursuance of the National Education Policy 2020. Almost all Kendriya Vidyalayas have been designated, which you mentioned also, as PM Shris. Now, which is so beautiful because they showcase the implementation of NEP 2020, the National Education Policy, and acting as an exemplar schools for others.
So they are in a way model schools, and they would be examples for other schools to follow, to emulate. And believe me, if you look at the record over the last few years, these schools have been performing extraordinarily well, particularly in the board examinations. If you look at the results produced by these schools, they are outstanding. And it has been proved time and again that this entire concept is hugely successful, and the government has rightly prioritized more investment in this sector.
Let's tell our listeners that Kendriya Vidyalayas are primarily open to cater to educational needs of wards of transferable and non-transferable employees of central government, including defense and paramilitary forces, and for children of floating population and others, including those living in remote and undeveloped locations in the country, which KG also mentioned a while back. What about the syllabus? How are the teaching methods? How is the syllabus, etc.?
The training of the teachers. The teachers are very well-trained teachers are there, and they get an opportunity to visit foreign schools. They get to collaborate with leading schools. They get to collaborate with other government institutions. This is facilitated by the government to ensure that the students get, and the students have a very delicate balance of not just studies, but also sports, and other training is also provided, culture. And the National Education Policy, in its letter and spirit, is being implemented in these institutions. That means that a lot of focus on Indian languages, lot of focus on Indian traditions, Indian value systems. So we are not just grooming future doctors and engineers, chartered accountants and civil servants, but also very responsible citizens of the future are being groomed in these institutions.
Well said. Are there any guidelines to improve inclusivity, particularly for children from economically weaker sections or rural areas?
Yes, absolutely. The Navodaya Vidyalaya itself was conceived because these are residential schools. And they were conceived only because the parents cannot afford to send them in this quality schools, afford their fees and afford their transport, because they are not operational in every nook and corner. They are maybe in every district, there is one Navodaya Vidyalaya. So it is not possible for people living in remote areas, in the tribal belt or the rural belt of the country, to send their wards through conveyance on a day-to-day basis. So these are residential schools where students from rural background, students from tribal areas, they get to come to one place and together they get to learn. They have the same kind of facilities which are available. So obviously this is a program which is about inclusivity. This is about providing a platform to all the, whether it is the backward communities or the scheduled castes or the scheduled tribes, to give them a platform which will give them a level playing field when it comes to their career, when it comes to their choice of career. These students are able to march shoulder to shoulder with students from other communities and also get to compete with them on a level playing field. I think that is the whole objective.
Okay. We talked about job creation, KG, a while back. And how is the government going to address the staffing needs for these duly approved schools, which are going to be in remote areas?
Absolutely. I think that the government is certainly, you see, these days, I mean, there are so many takers for government jobs, and are very highly qualified people who are available and who also are committed to work in the rural areas, in the remote areas. So I believe there won't be a dearth of manpower for the government. What is required is the kind of training that they ought to be given. The training is going to make all the difference, and the government is not going to leave them just like that. You have a lot of government schemes like the PM Kaushal Vikas Yojana, Startup India, Stand Up India, the incubation labs, the Atal Tinkering Labs. The whole idea is to promote research, to incentivize quality education. And these schools have no dearth of funds. They are supported like anything by the central government. And that will take care of quality recruitment. And it will also ensure that whether it is vocationalization or promoting entrepreneurship. We are not just looking at job generation, skill development, wherein the students tomorrow turn out to be entrepreneurs, not just job seekers, but rather job providers. That is the whole idea.
We also talked about building the infrastructure. So is there any provision in the new decision? Apart from the financial provision, are there timelines defined?
Timelines have been defined. Within next 4 years, these are supposed to come. That means that 2029 is the target that the government has. I think that they will complete all the projects and deliver it on time.
Simultaneously, the cabinet's decision to expand metro connectivity,
yes,
including the Rithala-Kundli metro corridor under the Delhi Metro Phase 4, marks a significant step in improving urban mobility. Would you show some light on that?
I would like to state that not just urban mobility. I think that Delhi is plagued by pollution. And the more people travel by public transport and they are less dependent on their individual private transport, the more we will be able to reduce the carbon emissions, the more we will be able to curb the pollution in this city. And I think that this connectivity in Delhi NCR, where today people are traveling from one point to another in terms of job, in terms of education, that would be hugely catered to under this project. About 21 new railway stations will be, apart from all the benefits of the construction and the laborer and the investment that will go into it. Even one project even connects your Ghaziabad with Nathupur in Haryana. So it's connecting not just Delhi with Haryana, but also Delhi and UP with Haryana. So it's the entire Delhi NCR, the National Capital Region, is being developed. And I think that metro is already one of the largest metro networks in the world. And with this new addition, expansion, and I think that it's going to, and it is one of the most vibrant, one of the most disciplined, which has an on-time performance, which has been able to maintain that for over the last so many decades, is something that is remarkable. And this is a joint venture between Delhi government and the central government.
I'm certain, KJ, that they will ensure a seamless integration of this new corridor with the existing metro routes.
Yes.
Having said that, could you provide some details on the budget allocation for this project and the expected timelines for completion?
Again, it is 4 years. And phase four, as it is called, which is Rithala, Narela, Nathupur, Kundli. This envisages about 26.463 kilometers. And there is a cost which is 6,230 crores that has been earmarked for this. And it's to be on a 50-50 ratio between the Delhi Metro and it's a SPV, Special Purpose Vehicle, of the Government of India and the NCT. Delhi, Government of NCT Delhi, and 21 stations, and within 4 years, this is to be completed. Delhi Metro, the way it has expanded when the first metro was launched, and today when I see that, it was a small area which was covered up to Chandni Chowk.
How do these decisions align with the government's broader agenda for urban and rural development?
As I said, that they are looking at holistic development. We are not just looking at infrastructure development. We are also looking at education, which is, I think, very important, very critical for the nation's development. Health, which is again across. So you have Ayushman Bharat and all that. Housing. Because the whole idea is that by 2047, we become a developed country. After celebrating in 2022 our Amrit Mahotsav, the diamond jubilee of our independence. Now we are moving towards the century of our independence. And to that end, how we can become a developed country, not only in terms of 5 trillion economy or something like that, but also in terms of infrastructure, education, health, quality of life, and for that regular empowerment of women. I think that the government's attempt is to ensure a delicate balance, which is also at the same time ensuring that the funds are given to priority areas.
So PM's motto is Sabka Saath, Sabka Vikas. And these two decisions that have come on the schools and the metro infrastructure is a crucial decision that they have taken. How does the public-private partnership come into play in this?
Absolutely. A lot of, on the one hand, you see a lot of private universities which have been given freedom. Foreign universities are now setting up campuses in India. But at the same time, we have to ensure that today we very proudly say that the CEOs of the top 500, Fortune 500 companies are of Indian origin. It is because of the quality of education. So we need to ensure when we are looking at becoming global leaders, this public-private partnership has to be in place. We cannot be competing with each other. The time now is for cooperation and collaboration.
On that positive note, it was a pleasure to have you with
Thank
us
you.
In the studios of Akashvani. Thank you, KG Suresh.
Thank you so much.
You were listening to a discussion on Union Cabinet Decisions. The participants were KG Suresh, political analyst, and Rajesh Lake, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.